On today's episode, we're going to discuss this word, put away, and define when it is a divorce and when it's not. And we're going to deal with this concept of a partial divorce. Make sure you stay tuned.
You are listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show with your host and teacher, Darius Good. He is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center and founder of Good Treasure Ministries. He is the author of the books Unlocking Godly Wisdom and The Divorced Christian. For more information, visit the website at thedivorcedchristian.com. And now, here's your host, Darius Good.
Welcome to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show. My name is Darius Good. I'm the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center, which is located in Connecticut. To learn more about this podcast show and myself, visit my website at dariusgood.com or thedivorcedchristian.com. There we have not only previous episodes, but we also have the book that I wrote concerning the subject of divorce. It contains my notes on this subject as I studied this subject out since 2021. And also, we have links to resources that are available on the website. So the information that I provide is research that I've done on ancient Israel. I began studying the law of Moses. I want to understand this concept and the subject of divorce. What was the procedure? What was the process? And during the course of my studies, I realized how much information has been made up by the church, has been made up by ministers and preachers and denominations. They don't understand the culture, the Jewish culture. They do not understand the laws. Those laws were the same from Moses to the same time as Jesus and even till today. And the more I understood the law of Moses, the more I began to see that Jesus never contradicted the law of Moses. As he stated in Matthew 5, verse 17, I did not come to destroy. I did not come to change. I did not come to amend the law of Moses. And so once I had a better understanding of the law of Moses, some of the cultural issues that they were facing there in Israel, the story made so much more sense. And it's changed my understanding of the scriptures, my understanding of Paul's writings as well. And so I encourage every Christian to have a better understanding of Judaism, a better understanding of Jewish law and culture. It's going to make the Bible come alive. A lot of the Bible stories I heard as a child, I grew up in church. My father was a pastor. My mother was a pastor. So I am the son of pastors. All I know is church. And what I thought I knew, I learned that a lot of my information was inaccurate. Not the teachings that I heard in church, but some of the stories and the conclusions that I would hear ministers share, they were not accurate. And so on today, we're not going to deal with some of those stories. We're going to deal with this word put away, which is one of these words that people like to argue regarding. And so we're going to define when put away means a divorce, when it doesn't. We're going to deal with this concept of a partial divorce, and we're going to touch on Jewish culture that helps us bring this picture into full light. And so the word put away, we find it in Jesus' teachings beginning in Matthew chapter 5. Beginning at verse 31, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." And so Jesus begins by stating the law of Moses. This law is found in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. So if you go to Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, it says, "When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it comes to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house." Now at verse 2, it says, "When she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife." Now, that law continues into more detail, but we're going to begin with verse 1, where we see these steps that are now required for a divorce. He says, let him write a bill of divorcement. Number 2, the man is required to place it in the woman's hand. Number 3, then he sends her out of his house. Now, this word, send out of her house, If you look it up in the Hebrew word, this word is spelled S-A-L-A-H. S-A-L-A-H, and it's pronounced like shalach. Now, this word means to send or to send away. What we will find is in the Greek, which is what the New Testament is written in, that word is apolio, and it means the same definition, to send away, to let go, to release, okay? So that's the definition of this word, shalach, that we find here in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1, to send her out of his house. So these are the steps that are required for a legal divorce that allows the woman to now enter into another marriage. So now this is where the debate starts. Because in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, except for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." So the assumption has been Jesus is now talking about post-divorce, after a divorce. So the conclusion has been that Jesus limited the cause, a just cause, for a divorce to be adultery. And anything other than that is not just in God's eyes. And so if you do get divorced, then you are still legally bound to your former spouse, and your next marriage is now viewed as an adulterous marriage. Okay, that's a very long stretch. Very long stretch. Not sure where they got that from. When you go to the Greek here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 31, what you'll realize is Jesus used this word apolio every single time. He never uses the word divorce. So the word apolio, which is our Greek word, it means to send away. It means to set free. It means to let go or dismiss. Now, as Jesus first stated in the law, verse 31, Matthew 5, 31, these are the same steps we see in Deuteronomy. Whosoever shall put away his wife, apolio, his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. So there's several things that are going on here. Let's first define when the putting away was a legal divorce and when it's not. As we see with what Moses established, she must first receive a bill of divorcement before she could be sent away. Now, the reason he did this was he established in Israel that every marriage must have a ketubah, which was a marriage contract. Before then, they had what was a system where men would marry their wives by simply stating to them the intent of marriage in front of witnesses, and the woman had to agree. The witnesses had to hear her agree. And then the man and the woman would then go and consummate the marriage. And at this point, they were husband and wife. Another way you could marry a woman was by the giving of a gift. So once again, the man would state his intent of marriage in the presence of witnesses. The woman would receive the gift, and by receiving the gift, then that would mean that she has agreed to marriage. Now, we can find this practice here in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 24. This is the story of Rebekah, when they went to go find a wife for Isaac. The servant travels and makes his prayer unto God that he was hoping to find the right damsel to marry Isaac. At verse 22, it says, "And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking," so Rebekah poured water for the man, the servant of Abraham. She also provided water for their camels, which was the man's prayer. It says that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. Now, we have one problem with this particular verse. The servant did not give her an earring, as we find stated in the King James Version. If you go to the Hebrew word is N-E-Z-E-M, nazim. This word actually is translated nose ring. And if you're reading some of the other translations, you will find the description that this ring given to her was a nose ring. If you do the research, you'll find that the nose ring was very common as the jewelry that was given to the woman with the intent of marriage. That was very normal in the Middle East. And so when the servant handed her the nose ring, she understood that there was a request for marriage. And I've heard ministers tell this story in error many times, ignorant of culture once again, Middle Eastern culture. They state that the woman did not have a say-so in who she was to marry. That is not true. Rebecca had to give consent, which is exactly what Moses did with the law of Moses. Every woman in Israel has to give her consent in order to be married. How did they do it once he established the law? Well, she signed the document called the Ketubah. Once she signed that, that was her consent that she was legally entering into a binding relationship, a marriage with this particular man. A woman could not be given without her consent in Israel. That leads us to a very important point. The marriage contract, the ketubah, once a woman in Israel had her ketubah, the only way that the relationship could be brought to an end was either by divorce, the bill of divorcement, as we see with this law in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1, or by death, which you will see in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 3. It explains that if the second husband, whether he dies or he divorces the wife, then she does not have the ability to return to the former husband. This is not my interpretation of the law. This is Israel's interpretation of the law and how they govern the people there in Israel during Moses' time, during Jesus' time, and even today. So now, Moses required every Jewish woman, every daughter of Israel, to have a ketubah. She had to have a marriage contract for her marriage to now be legal and binding. The old system, the old way, was not permitted anymore. With that being said, if the ketubah was not drafted correctly, then her marriage was not considered legal or binding. This is very important to understanding their court system. It's the same way today. I do a lot of marriages. If I do not submit the paperwork and it's not filed, then the couple is not legally married. It doesn't matter if I did a service. It doesn't matter if it was a religious service or a civil service. Their marriage is not honored in the court legally or seen as being legally binding. I had a situation where a young man reached out to me, and I knew the young man. He and his wife were having some major issues. He decided to move forward with a divorce. He goes to the records statistics office to get his marriage certificate and find that there isn't one. So he calls me and says, "What do I do?" Well, you were never legally married. And so you can't get a divorce when you and your wife were never legally married. The court system can't grant you a divorce decree. It's impossible. And so this is the same issue they would have in Israel, where if the ketubah was not written legally or by the correct steps as required by the law of Moses, then it was not viewed as being a binding ketubah. Now, this brings us to the point that when there was a ketubah, a legal binding ketubah, Moses required in Israel that the woman cannot be sent away. This is the old way of how they would do it. Let's go back. So in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, when it says, "Send her out of his house," that word to send away is shalach. That's the exact same word that we'll find in the story of Abraham and Hagar. So in Genesis 21, verse 14, it says, "Abraham rose up early in the morning. He took bread and a bottle of water, gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away." Shalach. He sent her away. Now, mind you, this is before the establishing of the law of Moses. But what God did was required Moses to take a lot of the experiences from the patriarchs and the matriarchs, things that they did well, things that they did that were wrong in his eyes, and it made it a part, they made it a part of the law of Moses, what was now illegal. Now, in the case of Hagar, she was sent away because she was a concubine. Now, what the church has done is they will not honor the marriage of Hagar, completely dismiss it, because they view the marriage between Abraham and Sarah as being the legal binding marriage, even though under the law of Moses, it would have been illegal because of their relationship. They were too close. They would have come under the law of incest. So it wouldn't have been a legal binding marriage, according to the law of Moses. But the church picks and chooses. It's okay for Abraham, but not okay for Hagar. Well, anyway, in Israel, marriage to a concubine was still a marriage because it required the consent of the main wife. A man could not marry a concubine because he decides he wants multiple wives. In addition, the law required that each wife had their own homes. They could not live together. Let's go even deeper. Abraham and Sarah did not live together. Just read the scripture. Sarah had her own tent. Rebecca moved into her tent when she came to live with Isaac. If you read the story of Jacob, all his wives had their own tents. Men and women did not live together. And this is where the confusion comes in, because this is not America. This is not American laws, American culture. We're dealing with ancient Israel culture. So now, under the law of Moses, when there was a concubine, you could send her away, and that will be a legal divorce. So what we see in the story of Hagar and Abraham, even though it's pre-law of Moses, he sent her away, she's just a concubine. That was become now their divorce. Why? Not because she's a concubine, but because concubines did not have a marriage contract. They still had a wedding. So it was a legal marriage. No other man could touch a concubine. She's a married woman. But what she did not have, which was the marriage contract, the ketubah, which now meant there is no divorce settlement. There's nothing that the man has to pay to the woman now that the marriage has come to an end. Can we see this in the law of Moses? Because I want you to know that I don't make up my definitions. I don't make up my teachings. Everything I explain to you, you will find in the scriptures, because it all aligns. The law of Moses aligns with what we see in the scriptures. So now we can see this truth in the book of Ezra. If you go to Ezra chapter 9, it states at verse 1, "Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, for they had taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yes, the hand of the princes and the rulers hath been chief in this trespass.'" And that's verse 2 of Ezra chapter 9. So now Ezra goes and prays and asks God what should be done. God tells him that they are to separate themselves from the people of the land. So this is Ezra chapter 10, verse 11. "Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, do his pleasure, separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives." At Ezra 10, verse 17, it says, "They made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month." And then beginning at verse 18, we have a list of the offenders, all those who had married strange women. This means non-Israelite women. And so what the church has taught is that these men had to put their wives away because they married women from a foreign land, because Jews could only marry Jewish women. Let's define this. There were certain nations the Israelites could not marry from. These women fell under these particular nations. It does not mean they could not marry foreigners, because there were laws in place regarding foreigners in the law of Moses. God said there will be one law for the stranger and for the natural born, those that are born Jews. one law. So according to the law of Moses, once a woman converted, she is now a Jew, no longer a foreigner. Otherwise, our other stories don't make sense. You cannot have stories about Ruth and Naomi. You can't have stories about Rahab, who was clearly not a Jewish woman, but she's a part of the bloodline of Jesus. And this is where knowing part of the culture now leads to error in teaching. You got to know the entire culture of the nation of Israel. So now, these women were put away. They put away the sons, their children that were birthed out of these unions, and they put away their wives. This is verse 19, Ezra 10, 19. And they gave their hands that they would put away their wives, and being guilty, they offered a ram of the flock for their trespass. In this particular story, it is a divorce because these are not Jewish women. You could not send Jewish women away without first receiving their bill of divorcement. But in this case, these were not Jewish women. They had no ketubah, and so the Jewish court would not view their marriages as being legal in the first place. So with that being said, sending her away was legal and lawful according to Jewish law. Now, a major law that was established by Moses was that a woman could not divorce her husband. The divorce had to be initiated by the husband. Did not mean women were trapped in their marriages, as I hear preachers preach. Women couldn't get divorced. That is erroneous, is wrong, is horrible teaching. They need to go somewhere and sit down. Women could divorce their husbands in Israel. They just could not initiate the divorce, which means that if the court found just cause, the Jewish court, their tribunal court, which is called the Beit Din, that's the lowest court level, part of their duties and responsibilities was resolving marital disputes. That's one of the main cases that they dealt with. So if a wife had an issue with her husband, they would go to the judge. We don't have that system. We don't have it in our American system. We don't have it in our churches. We do provide counseling, but it wasn't a requirement where your disputes are resolved by the court. And in this case, once the court made their decision, the man had to abide by it. Very different system, which is why their marriages worked and ours don't. So now, the law would not allow a woman to just simply divorce her husband. Why? Because he's going to pay her a large amount of money. The ketubah required a prenup agreement, which was usually consistent with the dowry. So whatever the amount of the dowry was, they was determined in, let's say nowadays, a dollar amount, then the husband would match most times the dowry amount and say this would be the divorce settlement. That was the ketubah payment. With that being said, the woman didn't have the right to now go to the court and say, I'm just going to divorce him and he's going to pay me. Now, the court could compel the husband. They have the authority to compel the husband to initiate the divorce. And depending on what was done in the marriage, the wife may end up losing her ketubah payment, her settlement. So just because the prenup was in place didn't mean she automatically got it. Now, this raises this question here in Mark chapter 10, where Jesus says, and if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Well, Jesus knew a woman could not put away her husband. That would not be a legal divorce. So what is he stating? He's actually stating the law of Moses, that if a woman put away, if a woman apolio, if a woman sends away her husband, well, you've already skipped a step. The required step was that the man first give her a bill of divorcement. So at this point, this is not a legal binding divorce. It is simply a separation, which is why if she marries another man, She's committing adultery. You can't be separated from your legal spouse and enter into another marriage. This is called polygamy. This is called bigamy. And so in Israel, there was laws against polygamy. A woman could not be the wife of two men. Could not be the wife of two men. So where do we find this particular law? It's found in Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. Because the child birthed out of that illegal marriage, this would be the second marriage. She's only put away, only separated, entered into a legal marriage. Any children birthed out of that marriage took on the title bastard, which means mamzer. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, a bastard or a mamzer shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to the 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And this is where the error comes in, because the church wants to define the word bastard as a child birthed out of a man and woman not legally married. But it's the child birthed out of a illegal marriage. Doesn't mean they're unwed. It means their marriage was not deemed legal by the court system. Jesus' teachings are right in line with the law of Moses. Hopefully this provided some clarity. Join us next time. We're going to continue this subject.
You've been listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show with your host, Darius Good. This was a Good Treasure Ministries production. Darius is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center, and he is the author of the book, The Divorced Christian. To learn more about this book and other books written by Darius, or to listen to other episodes of our podcast show, visit our website today at thedivorcedchristian.com. We pray that today's episode has brought revelation, understanding, and healing. Please like, share, and subscribe to our podcast show. And until next time, be blessed.